These tapes are important, not because they're mine, because the voice of the Good Shepherd is on them. And they go all over the country, and now they're going all over the world. And someday, if the Lord lets me, I'll share with you some of the testimonies. But I'm telling you, some of these that we get back makes any type of... which I've not really found it to be much of a... I mean, aren't we suffering coming down to Fort Myers, Florida? But any kind of sacrifice that you might ever think you're making, I'm telling you, one letter where the Good Shepherd spoke, rescue the life. It's certainly worth it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
Now, is there anyone here that does not get our tapes? You're not on our mailing list? Raise your hand. It's okay. It's okay. Okay. Now there is no condemnation to those that are ignorant. The way we operate, I'm going to quickly go over a little bit of our testimony tonight, just in case there's some that doesn't know. But we do have a tape ministry now. The price is right. If you don't like our tapes, we'll give you your money back. And did I mention they're free? Oh, no, I didn't mention that. We're going to have these cards available, and if you raise your hand again, I'll pass them out even while I'm talking, since I can move with this thing. And all that we ask is that you contact us by any of the methods on here. And we have a lot of tapes available on a lot of subjects. If you would let us know what your needs are or what your interests are, since I'm real familiar with what's on the tapes, I'll be real happy to send you a series or select certain tapes for you that would speak directly to that. We normally send about 4 tapes a month, and they're all free. Some of the series are longer than that, and I don't like to break them up. We have the biggest one, I think, has 10 tapes in it. And so let me quickly give our testimony. Sue and I attend the prayer center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Pastor Dave Roberson is our pastor. And Sue and I we had been saved in Spirit-filled since 1980. And we had endeavored to serve the Lord where they need. And I don't know if you all know the testimony, you know, what they say about Will Rogers. He never met a man that he didn't like, you know. Sue's like that. She'd love the devil if he'd repent, you know. You know, maybe not. That might be a little far, but, you know. Now, my mom would. My mom, you poor little devil, get up here. You know, repent, you know. Anyway, I'm making a joke. But still yet, we got attacked big time. We were going to another church then, good church. But that church made a fatal error. They decided to pray and to really go soul winning. And it was a good church with good people. We'd been going there a long time. But we were fairly ignorant of our enemy's devices. The war machine, we did not understand our enemy. And the reality of the gospel, you know, Paul says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, and so forth. And we didn't even recognize what happened to us. But I mean, we got attacked, and we got attacked the whole church. And just to make a long story short, within 45 days tops, that church was no more. It's not good to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Looking back on it now, we see very plainly what happened. And there is no blame. There is no condemnation. The strong man came, took us apart. We didn't know how to stop him. Bless our pastor's heart, he didn't need it. He didn't like what happened either. Well, how many of you know a church split is very painful? Or a church dissolving or whatever. And it was for us and everybody there. To the point that it basically sort of took Sue and I out for nearly 5 years. I'll just be honest with you. Our whole lives were wrapped up in that church. We had sown our lot, not just finances, but our lives there. And it just kind of, we were part of the body. And when it was destroyed, we were destroyed. Now, we didn't go back into deep sin or anything. You know, we didn't go back to the bars or anything like that. But I'm just talking about just your normal, defeated Christian life. What do you mean by that, Brother Gary? Oh, you know. Where you get up, you go to work, you come home, you eat supper, you watch a little TV, you say your prayers, and you go to bed. And if that's your life, you're dead and don't know it. You know, really are. Well, that went on, that kind of life, and we'd go to church once in a while, but we never, you know, here and there trying to find, you know, we'd kind of taste the waters, you know. Nothing ever felt like home. And so this went on for about 5 years. And at the end of that 5-year period, near the end of it, a strong man attacked us again. Now, this time he came to take us off the earth. And I'm condensing volumes of tapes here, okay? But within a short 3 or 4 month spell, all of this happened. I was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Sue developed, she had already had developed for a long time. We didn't know what it was. We just knew there was a growth in her private parts that wasn't right. It was big enough you could see the growth, you know. Come to find out later, it developed to an 8-pound blood mass that, had it ruptured at any time, would have killed her instantly. We didn't know it was that serious at the time. Our daughters are 2 years apart. They all went crazy at once. Okay? I know none of y'all know what that's like, but I'm telling you, they all rebelled and thing after thing happened. And through his mercy, and the thing about the devil, see, he has no mercy. He hit us at the lowest point. We had been out of the Word, out of good fellowship, for almost 5 years. And at our lowest point, here he came. And he made a good run at taking us off the earth. Now, thank God for the fundamentals of faith. Thank God for all those years we had listened to good tapes, put the Word in us, because we still remembered, we knew enough to be able to fight off that onslaught. And really, we were pretty well coming out of it. You know, I mean, he didn't kill me, didn't kill my wife. Our daughters were killed or wound up in jail or anything like that. But we knew we were in trouble, so we... Yeah, one did for a while. She came about just real close to going to federal penitentiary. And that's a whole... Listen, we don't go there. That's the whole night if we go there. I'm just telling you, Jesus will save your children.
Hallelujah.
He will save your children. And you call Jesus Lord over your children, and he'll become that. And the Good Shepherd, I don't care where they go, if it's the basement jail cell of Jay, Oklahoma. Oklahoma. A good shepherd will come get them. He did mine.
Even the lawful prey
shall be delivered. In fact, go ahead and turn to Isaiah 49. If any of you ever have trouble with your kids, and I know nobody probably ever has any trouble with their kids, but if you do, just say it was to happen. I know it'd be unusual. This was the verse that he gave us. Now, really, he gave me this one for another situation, but it would be a situation like this. Your kids ever rebel on you when you know good and well that they know better? You didn't raise them that way?
Mm-hmm.
See, in we didn't raise our kids to be rebellious and everything, you know. So the devil, he would assault my mind. I would start making intercession and praying for him, and he'd go, I have a right to them. They know better than this. And they're just openly rebelling. And if they do that, I have a right. The devil, you know, those thoughts would keep coming to me. It would defeat me. I was going, God, I've got to have some help. I don't know what to do. My faith is not strong. I know it's not strong because I don't know how to get past that. He gave me this verse. It's Isaiah 49, verses 24 and 25. It says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Now, here it is. Or the lawful captive delivered? Now, wait a minute. What is a lawful captive? Now, that's where they're taken captive, taken prisoner, legally. Isn't that right? Well, let's see what the answer to this question is. Verse 25. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. He gave me that. I had one of those good old Oklahoma, Pottawatomie County running fits. I knew I had my answer. And I'm telling you, one thing, if you get to know Gary Carpenter, every day, I put those verses back in his face. He likes that. My word will not return unto me void, he says, but will accomplish that for which I sent it. Boy, he sent me that. And I mean every day during a, during my prayer time and my worship time, somewhere in there we were coming to this. And I was going, Lord, the prey shall be taken from the mighty, and even if they're lawfully captured, you will deliver them. I like the first part. It says, even the captives of the mighty. I don't care how big these devils are. I don't care how big the problems are. I don't care if it is federal penitentiary we're looking at. You will contend with those that contend with me. You will save my children. Did he do it overnight, Brother Gary? Oh, no. Was that a real pleasant time, Brother Gary? Oh, no. No. But you do it, and you stand, and you say it, and you say it, and you say it every day, every day, every day. And all three of our daughters today, saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, serving God. And I just praise God. I'll tell you one thing else. This is a good confession. You might write this one down. This came out of my mouth the other day, and it's so good, I memorized it. Got to thinking about my family. My family's been attacked twice. We've got three daughters. And they're all still in their 20s. Two of them have already been through a divorce. You know? The devil's not dead, you know. He'll attack. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You know? And it got to dawning on me, see, though, because we learned a lot. We learned, the Lord's taught us some things over the years. Now, this is what it is, though. See? If you attack my, here's what to write down. If you attack my family, devil, if you attack my family just gets bigger. That really does. Now, she's laughing because she knows it's the truth. We go to Furs after church or somewhere to eat after church, and there's my, us and our family, and my, our son-in-laws, and my ex-son-in-laws, and their fiancé or wives, and their children, who are now my grandchildren, as far as I'm concerned. You attack my family, the devil cannot win. If you attack me, if my family's just going to get bigger. I'm not going to lose any of them.
Praise God.
None of them. Jesus taught us how to forgive. He taught us how to minister healing to these people. There's no point in condemnation and bitterness. Dear God, what is all that? One night a friend of ours was sitting behind us in church. And now just so you know, when I was a heathen, see, most men, I hear them say things like, well, not most men, not most of the men that I run with today, but in the old days, they say, they would say things like, you know, I've been married three times and all these women were no good and all that. I'd hear them say stuff like that. And I knew better than that even when I was a heathen. See, but most men say that they can't find one good woman. God's blessed me with two in my lifetime. I was married once before, and I messed that marriage up myself. It wasn't her fault. You want drinking. You're looking at a different human being than was there. Okay? But I messed that one up. Just, I was your basic heathen, drank, and just drove her to it. But one night a friend of ours was sitting, Sue and I were sitting in church in an evening service with our, kind of in our family row, and a friend was sitting behind us. And he was going, now wait a minute, he got to looking at our row. Because on the aisle seat was my first wife, sitting right next to Sue, my current wife, and I'm sitting next to her, and my last wife. Hallelujah. Amen. Got that right. You got, my folks already told her, says, yeah, you've had him longer than us. It's too late to bring him back now. You know, it'll be 23 years this December. Hallelujah. And anyway, sitting next, so there's my first wife sitting next to Sue. I'm sitting next to Sue. Sitting next to me is my ex-son-in-law, who is sitting next to my current son-in-law, and last son-in-law, sitting next to his wife. I mean, and he's sitting back there going, this is not normal. Normally, if you had all these, you'd have to have the police here, a riot squad. Jesus has to be in this. But that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Your family could just get bigger. That's all. Don't let the devil destroy your family. Forgiveness is the big key. All on all sides. Our enemy is not these people, our enemy is the devil. If they breathe, if they have flesh and blood, they are not your enemy. Hallelujah. Okay. Boy, I'm gonna have to speed this up, or we're gonna have is the testimony tonight, but that might be all right. We were in horrible shape when we started at Pastor Dave's though. We had just gone through all those experiences with the cancer and the 8-pound blood mass and the children. We were in terrible shape. And I thank God for Pastor Dave. Now, by that time, I did not trust preachers at all. None. But I would listen to Pastor Dave. And I had a little motto that I still think is a good motto. I don't care who preaches it. Until I find it in my Bible, it's not scripture. And I'm going to check it out 6 ways from Sunday, too. I decided to be like one of those men of Berea who were more honorable, who searched diligently the scriptures every day to see if these things were so. Well, I was driving trucks at this time when we started at Dave's. Now, Sue would go to the services and she'd get tapes because I'm on the road, you know. So next time I come in, I'd leave with my sack of tapes and here I'd go. And I'd listen to everything that he taught. Now, Dave, I had never heard of anyone teach like Pastor Dave, because all the other teachers I'd ever had, they tried to teach me directly. And Dave teaches, but his ultimate goal is not to teach you. His goal is to put you in touch with the teacher, which is the Holy Spirit. That's who Jesus said. He says, I want to send you the Spirit of Truth. And He, and that's a personal pronoun, He will guide you. He Himself, who? The Holy Spirit. He'll guide you, and He'll teach you all things. He'll lead you. And that's, I'd never heard a man talk like this. I'd listen to those tapes, and I'd... Never man spake like this man, you know. And I searched it all out. Sure enough, it was all in there. It took 6 months to convince me. I had never heard. I mean, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I could speak with other tongues since 1980, you know. And I was like most charismatics I knew. Speak in tongues 10 minutes. Prophesy for 2 hours. Glory to God, you know. But Dave kept talking about there's benefit and there's value to long extended times praying in other tongues, which we may get into some of that. He says, the Holy Spirit will become your teacher. He's literally passing through you those mysteries. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. How be it? Or I like it. This is how it be. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, later in another book, if Paul calls himself, he says, I am a steward of the mysteries of God. I wonder how he became a steward. Let's see. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. I speak in tongues more than you all. I am a steward of the mysteries. I begin to put two and two together here. Gee, maybe Pastor Dave is right. All that time that we're spent praying in the Spirit, of course meditating the Word also, the Holy Spirit becomes your own personal teacher. And it's not like he's going to give you some kind of out-of-the-Bible revelation. It's all going to come out of here. But he's going to reveal it to you in a way that is personal to you, where no longer you have to depend on Kenneth Copeland's faith about it or Gary Carpenter's faith about it. Not that I would put myself... Not putting myself on the same level. I'm just saying Kevin's faith about it or anybody's, Nick's. I mean, it's real to you now.
Right.
And they couldn't beat it out of you with rifle butts. It's yours. It's yours. You know what you know because you know what you know. And he showed you what you know. And your only problem is going to try and convey that to other people, because it's like trying to give them your right arm. I mean, it's so real to you, you know, but you can't give it to them. You can kind of tell them about it. See? It's kind of like you can't get born again for somebody else. They got to get born again themselves. Amen. You know, God doesn't have any grandchildren, you know. You only ask children. Well, anyway, I've got to speed this up a little. December of 1992, I made a covenant with the Lord. And I was still driving trucks. And I was convinced. It took 6 months to convince me. That I thought, well, I think Dave's right. I've checked out everything the man says. I looked up every verse over and over. I've read it in context. I'm going to give this a go. So I made this deal with the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm stuck in the cab of this truck anyway. I'm going to turn off the CB. I'm going to turn off the tape player. And if I'm in the cab of this truck, I'll just make this my prayer closet, and I will pray in the Spirit. Best decision I ever made in my life. Now, my job was probably not that different from yours. That came to roughly 40 hours a week. Some weeks a little more, some weeks a little less. And at first, I had a hard time. My mind would drift, you know. I'd start praying in other tongues driving, and after a little while, I'd notice, I'd quit. I was thinking about something. Well, the only thing to do is just, oh, oops, sorry, start again. Pretty soon, it gets to be like second nature. To this day, still yet, when I sit down behind the wheel of any kind of vehicle, as soon as my hands touch the steering wheel, I just start. It's just like second nature to me now. Okay? Well, sure enough, just like Pastor Dave said, after the first 10 hours, I had my first vision, what I call a teaching vision. Now, thank God it wasn't one of those where the whole world goes away, you know. Because I remember I was driving through Memphis, and there's little, you know, I'm driving a, you know, 70, 80,000 pound rig, and it's a good thing I didn't run over little ladies crossing the street or anything. But it was a teaching vision, and that's not the subject of tonight's lesson, but that was the first one. I started recording all of those, writing them down. Didn't have a computer then, but I'd write them in a little spiral notebook. I always felt like if God the Holy Ghost is willing to come and tell me something, I would at least have the courtesy to record what he told me. Don't you think that would be fair, common courtesy, you know? So I've always made a practice of recording some way or another anything that he ever told me. Well, thank God for it now. That began a process that over the next 2 years, today, we eventually did get a computer. I would bring home those spirals. Sue would type them, put them in the computer. Today, there's over 1,000 lessons, hand-tailored, personally crafted for Gary Carpenter. Everything that I teach virtually is from those lessons. And the reason I think people are drawn to the tapes or to the messages, it's just nothing about me. It's just they know it's coming from my heart. It's real to me. I'm not giving you anything that I learned out of a book or that I heard somebody say except the Holy Ghost. And it's real to me. And it works for me too. Glory to God. See, that's the big thing. Before I started this process, I mean, I believed that all these men were telling me the truth about faith. And I believe it was working for them, all right. I just couldn't get it to work for me. But when the Holy Spirit started showing it to me in a way that I could digest it, in a way it made sense to me, then we could start operating in it. And it works for us now. Okay, skipping forward. 2 years went by, praying in other tongues. Now, get this, especially you young men. I always have to emphasize this part. Everyone say after me, Gary prayed.
Gary prayed.
2 years.
2 years.
40 hours a week.
40 hours a week.
With a job.
With a job.
That's with a job.
With a job.
He had a paycheck.
He had a paycheck.
Praying in other tongues.
Praying in other tongues.
2 years.
2 years.
See, I have to drill that home because so many people, they just hear this next part. Then the Lord came and told me to quit my job. But boy, if I don't emphasize that other, you know, it's amazing. You know, at first I didn't emphasize it so much. And the whole next week we had a rash of job quitters. And I'm going, no. I said, the Lord told me after 2 years, see.
And it's not just the young people either. Young Christians.
Yeah. So, but he did. He came to me. I showed Sue the mile marker on this trip because it's in Arkansas, mile marker 64. And I showed her right where the Lord came. And this time he didn't come as teacher. How many knows he comes sometime as Lord? There's a difference between teacher and Lord. He wouldn't come to teach me nothing. Here's what he said. He said, when you get back off of this trip, I want you to give 2 weeks' notice to your boss. He says, he won't take it and this will be your last run. He says, I want you to go full-time in the ministry, and it's not my will for you, and he's talking to me now, for you to ever hold a secular job again the longest day you live. Now, that's fine, except for one thing. What ministry? We didn't have any ministry. I'm a truck driver that prays, okay? What are you talking about? I didn't know what to do. I mean, all he said, that was the end of discussion. When you get back, give your notice. He won't take it. He'll let you go now. And I want you full-time in the ministry and no secular income at all. Okay. How many of y'all think I rushed right out and obeyed that? I didn't. Because I'm just like you, you know. I have... I didn't tell her nothing about that one. Well, I didn't know what to do. See, to me it seemed, I thought I was being prudent. Now, in a minute, I'm going to show you how it was pride. Because I thought I was being... I was going, well, Lord, I don't understand. How are we going to survive? We don't have a ministry. I don't even know what you want me to... How are we going to pay the light bill? Public Service Company of Oklahoma is not impressed that I'm praying. You know, they want the money, and that's, then they ought to get the money. I mean, so it was questions like that. So I'll be honest with you, I begged the Lord. There was times in that truck, I mean, I kept taking runs. I did not quit. And I would just beg the Lord, please, show me something. What do you want us doing? Something. Now, one, you ought to write this down. If you know, those of you that know me, you've already got it. But I will tell you a clue that may save your life when it comes to the Lord. You ready? There is no point asking about step two until you take step one.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it nearly cost me my life to find that out. Because let me tell you, I kept on asking him. And what was funny, every trip, I mean, I make that run through Arkansas then a lot, two or three times a week. And every time I'd pass that mile marker. I know, Lord. I know what you said. Lord, here we go, this discussion again. 10 months. That was February 4th, 1994 was the day he told me that. 10 months later, to the day, December 4th, 1994, only 30 miles away from that same spot, I took Sue by there also. Now see, I got to preface this with this. The Lord did not do to me what I'm about to describe to you. But His grace, He kept me protected for 10 months. But if you disobey the Lord long enough, now think about Israel. God would give them grace, but if they were in open rebellion long enough, eventually they became prey for their enemies, did they not?
Yes, sir.
What you basically do, what I did, I got myself out from under His grace. He gave me 10 months, but just so I wouldn't miss it, to the day, December 4th. Suddenly, I developed what's known as, the doctors call it, supraventricular tachycardia. That's a heart thing, which rather than arrhythmia, which misses a beat once in a while, this is a super beat. And that's not so dangerous, but if you get like two or three of them in a row, boom, 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 it vacates the heart of blood, and you'll black out. And that's what happened to me. And I had gotten nauseous. Apparently, I was having these along, and I pulled over. It was foggy. It was icy. It was cold, December 4th. And I remember I had opened the door of the truck and just sat kind of sideways just to get some air because I was feeling nauseous. And the next thing I remember was waking up in a pool of my own blood. I don't remember falling. I must have blacked out before I ever, you know, fell out of the truck because I don't remember falling at all. I laid there for 6 hours. I took Sue by to see if the pavement was still stained with my blood after all this time. It's not. But, I mean, there was enough blood there that you couldn't cover it with a number 9 wash tub. My body temperature was down. Or, you know, hypothermia had set in. It was a scary thing. The next day, when she got to the hospital later that day, and I came to, I told her, I said, you know, I have the strangest feeling I'm not ever going to drive another truck again. Again, make a long story short. We wound up going full time. Didn't have a clue what he wanted us to do. But now, see, what I said a while ago, once you take step one, immediately instructions for step two came. See? And he just told us to start a Bible study in our home and begin teaching the things that he had been teaching me for 2 years. I mean, this is not rocket science. Just take those, you know, start teaching the things that he taught me. And mainly teach them how to be taught. Mainly teach, did you hear that part? Teach them how to be taught by the Holy Spirit, see. So we started doing that. He told me, he said, get a Walkman recorder. And, no, he didn't either. He just told me to record the tapes. Somebody else gave us the Walkman later. He said, record the tapes. Now here's the thing. The instructions for step two were more scary than the instructions for step one. Now, see if this sounds to you like any way to run a ministry. Here's his instructions to me. He says, I want you to record these tapes and give them away free. When they start asking for copies of the tapes to be sent to their friends and relatives, I want you to send them to them free. I want you to buy the tapes. I want you to buy the mailers, pay the postage, the labels, and just send everything absolutely free, whatever they ask for. And I'm going, okay, now he's already told me no secular income. Oh, he said, take up no offerings from these people. Now, by the way, the people he sent us after were people that had been completely wounded in churches, at least in their own mind. They'd already made it. It's not that they hated Jesus, but they weren't about to go back to another church. You know, in their minds, they just... And he told us so. He said, if you treat them graciously, they will come. And they did. And a lot of them are back in church today. But he says, don't take up offerings from these people. They already don't trust preachers. They already think all preachers are after their money, you know. So, now no secular income, take up no offerings, send the tapes and all that free. And I'm going, I asked him, can I put in a return envelope? Strong came back. No, you can't put in a return envelope. Now, all of those things are fine. It's not wrong to do any of those things. One thing you'll find out about Sue and I, the only way we know to even survive is whatever he says to you, do it. Jesus wants to lead each and every one of you by relationship and fellowship. His call on my life is completely different from his call on Linda's, Donnie's, Marianne's, everyone in here. He's a living Lord who has living children, and he is perfectly capable of giving each one of us individual, unique instructions, is he not? But anyway, we saw, does that sound to you like any way to run a ministry? You know? And so I thought, oh boy. So I thought he was done, and he says, oh, one other thing. Oh, great. I'm writing this stuff down, you know. He says, never let another human being ever know of any need that you ever have. I am your source. Okay, you know. And he said, if you will precisely follow these instructions of mine, I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support both you and the needs of the ministry. Now, that's been over 3 years ago. And he's been doing that ever since. And just so you'll know, as a, like a side benefit, like a bonus, he got us completely out of debt. Something I hadn't been able to do in 30 years in the workforce. I mean, that's just like a little bonus from the Lord, you know. It pays to obey God. We still do that ministry today. I still remember the first tapes we ever sent. We sent 7 tapes each to 2 different people, 2 sisters. One sister lived in Michigan, one lived in Wisconsin. And we even took pictures. We were so proud. Our first little 7 tapes going in, 14 tapes all together going in. We started with a $10 bill. I'll tell you that. We had $10. You know, you start with what you have. The first recorder I had was, I was telling him, it was a 20-year-old Panasonic, I think it was, clunky-looking thing that I had to set on an end table, and I had to preach sitting down. I couldn't even walk around because I'm connected with a cord about this long, and it was monaural. You know, you start with what you have.
That's right.
And I took $10, went out there and bought $10 worth of tapes today. Now, see, if the Lord had told me then, he said, if he'd have said, I want you to send... See, today our mailing list, last time I counted, is about 528 families. We send a minimum of 4 tapes a month. We're talking well over 2,000 tapes a month. We still send them all free. We still, you know, there's no charge at all. We do not put in return envelope. Only now they're not just going to the United States. They're going all around the world.
Praise God.
And let me just name a few. The first one was Canada. And now we've got Peru. We've got South Africa, the Czech Republic, Thailand, Hong Kong, the Philippines, and, you know, just Singapore. Just got one in Singapore. And one lady recently smuggled 14 tapes into Red China. She's really risky. In Czechoslovakia, they began translating them. And in Peru, the plan is to translate both into Spanish and Portuguese.
That's good.
You know, the Lord had told me that when I had $10. You know, I want you to start sending 2,000 tapes a month for free. What'd scare you to death, wouldn't it? See, that's why it pays to obey Him one step at a time, and that's also why He won't tell you very much about the future. Just what it's on. It's like the army. It's on a need to know basis.
That's right.
And you don't need to know. You just need to know what I'm telling you right now. Do what I'm telling you right now. Then we'll move on from there. Now, isn't that something? Does that pretty well sum up the testimony part?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. The end result of that. Now, one thing about it, when you're out, most of the times when Sue and I have traveled to minister other places, we do a lot of what we call kingdom finance seminars. I kind of shy away from the word prosperity because of, you know, quote, prosperity preachers, you know. But listen, when you're out there with no secular income, not allowed to take up offerings from that group, the group we started with, and you're not allowed to sell tapes. I mean, every avenue of income was just gone. Listen, I didn't have time anymore for theories about kingdom finances. I mean, PSO, the gas company, the telephone company, our landlords, the car, you know, at that time we were still making payments on it. We're just like you guys, car payment, visa payment, you know, okay? And like I tell you, they are not impressed that you're praying. I would send you some money, but I'm praying. They're not impressed by that, okay? And so we didn't have time for any more theories. We had to find out how this really works, and we had to find out yesterday. Now, if you'd like any of those tapes, because that's not what the Lord's going to have me minister on here, we have three series especially available. I'd like to send them to you in sequence that we taught in Houston. Houston Kingdom Finance Seminar, Grace, God's Foundation for Abundance. And then the third one is God's Steward of Kingdom Finances. They're absolutely free. We'll send them to you in sequence. Just send in the card, or don't have to send in the card. Mail us, email us, call. I do ask this. I do ask that you respond. Okay, let me put it this way. If you offer free stuff, if I had free widgets in here tonight, everybody would want free widgets because they're free. You take your widgets home, you put them in a drawer, I don't even know what they're for, you know. I do appreciate it. If you're hungry enough to fill out an envelope yourself and address it, or give me a call, or send me an email, that lets me know you'll probably listen to the tapes.
Right.
You with me? So I do ask that some initiative on your part. But I'll send them to you till you die. I mean, once you're on my list, until you tell me you don't want any more tapes, we already got 200. We can, you know, we keep you going for a while, okay? And there's absolutely that. Those that's been on my list a while, is there any hook later on?
No.
Huh? That little louder for the tape, they're going to think. They're going to be going. Some people are going to be going, hey. No, there's no hook later on. My dear, I'll tell you exactly what I want. And this is in a letter that comes every time. If the Lord ever speaks to you about a gift to the ministry, then you should do what he tells you. Otherwise, please freely receive what he's freely given us. Is that fair enough? Now, did anybody not get a card? And if you like, you can get some. We have extras up here. If you have somebody that you think might be interested, feel free to give them one. But the same deal applies. I would like for them to contact us. You gain a little experience as you go. Oh, my sister needs these tapes, Brother Gary. Please send my sister these tapes. Okay, that's all they tell me. So I start sending the sister the tapes. I find out 2 years later that this sister is somebody that the other sister has been trying to get saved for years. And here's these tapes coming from this preacher she doesn't know. And she's just been throwing them in the trash for 2 years. So we learn. You know, you learn a little wisdom as you go. I don't mind sending them to anybody, but I do want them to ask for it. Fair enough?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about what the Lord sent me down here to talk about. Why does God want to start another church for God's sake in Fort Myers? Let's get real. I asked the same question at LaRue's church. He's my friend in Houston. Because when you drive to LaRue's church, within the last mile, there's four churches. And they're all different denominations. Three of them are what we would call spirit-filled. And I bet you my bottom socks, my bottom dollar, none of the four could probably get along for more than about 30 minutes. You know? And here LaRue's starting a church. My question to God, why on earth would you start another church in Houston? And you drive, Bob and Judy drove us around a little bit last night. There's a lot of good churches. Kevin took us around some today. A lot of good churches. Why do you want to start another church? You know? Is that a good question? You know? Why do you want to start another church in Fort Myers? See, here's the thing. Jesus is the author of our faith. He believes in us. He believes, maybe this time, it'll be a church where the Father will get to do the works that the Father has always done when the anointing is let loose. He's thinking, maybe this one, maybe this one, the blind will get to see, and the lame will get to walk, and the deaf will get to hear. And we can bring little crippled children into this one in wheelchairs with muscular dystrophy, and they won't be wheeled out the same way they came in. And maybe this time I'll be able to get enough revelation knowledge in the earth where my church will quit believing religion about money. And I'll be able to raise up some people with my anointing like Joseph of old, like Jacob of old, and like Abraham of old, and like David of old, who went to war to bring in the spoils for the express purpose of building the temple. Well, listen, the temple God's building today is a temple made without hands. It's made out of human beings, and it takes money to go get them. Our pastor, Dave Roberson, has a vision for Japan. There's never been a major revival, a nation-shaking revival in Japan, not ever. That strong man has successfully kept that out since recorded history. But God has given Pastor Dave a vision that his feet are going to stand on that shore, and he's going to have a major part in the end time revival. There's going to be many, many souls won there. But now listen, the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? But how shall they preach lest they be sent? You've got preachers and you've got senders. Somebody's got to be anointed like David of old to go out and conquer Mammon and bring in the goods and hand it over to the Solomons so that they can go and build the temple out of lively stones. Maybe this church Jesus is going. Maybe. Maybe this time. Well, we'll try. We need another church. Because right now, see, it's like that in Tulsa. I'm not picking on Fort Myers. I personally think I go to the best church there is. I really do. I personally think that. Well, if I didn't think that, and I'll just tell you the truth. If I didn't think that, if I thought right now, just be real plain. If I thought right now this was the best one, I'd move here.
Praise God.
Thank you. I don't stay in Tulsa because of economy or anything. I do my best to get all my kids to move here. You know, I mean, whatever time we have left on this earth, isn't it to serve Him?
Yes.
Amen.
I mean, isn't that what the gospel is about?
Sure.
You know, you drive around this city, beautiful city you have here, Fort Myers. Hey, but this is a vacation town. That's fine. I drive around, I think, all these people, I wonder where they're from originally. The North, Ohio probably, Chicago, New York. And they come down here, a lot of them, to retire, play golf, and die. Go to hell. They didn't have that part planned, but that's what's going to happen. And if the churches, and I'm not saying they are, but if the churches get caught up with that same spirit, you know, well, it's just a nice place to live, and this is a holiday town, and you can make a nice living here, and loses the vision of what the church is in Fort Myers for, which is, for many of these people, time's running short. I mean, you know, we don't have time to play games anymore. A friend of the Guidas, 71 years old, from New York. Wonderful man. Lost. No doubt had he died before we met him, he wouldn't have gone to heaven. I mean, he plainly told you he was an atheist. You know, nice man. You know, and I think he was really more of an agnostic than he was an atheist. You know, I think he kind of liked that title, to be honest with you. All he needed to see was somebody showing Jesus is real. Listen, the gospel is the best news anybody ever heard. When it's properly presented in love, and most people will go for it. It's the best deal going. Hey, the devil will take you back anytime. The gospel is free. Jesus shed his blood for you. You can be born again, and it's a free gift. Hey, and if you don't like it, don't worry about it. The devil will take you back. You understand what I'm saying? You know? So, most people, when you present the gospel to them correctly, best fire insurance you ever heard of. Get out of hell free card. You know? But, you know, you do it with an attitude like I'm, you know, like this, like it's real. Well,
He saw the truth of it.
Well, that, and it made sense to him. He's an engineering type, you know, and I'm an engineering type. And he says, oh, God sent his son. Pay for my sins. I don't have to go to hell. Such a deal. And he got saved. Then he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. 71 years old. Was he 75? Oh, my God. And now what's really funny, he had already told Nick, now when he prays for me, if there's nothing to it, I'm just going to go, yabba dabba do. I like this guy. I like this guy, you know. Well, I prayed for him. It didn't come out yabba dabba do. He got it. I'm telling you, he got it. He's going, whew, that's real. I know, man. Getting back to the to this. Now, let me tell you where the problem with the church is. The church, not Fort Myers, not Tulsa, everywhere. Here's the problem. We don't understand what happened to us when we were born again. Pastor Dave got on this trail of being born again here a little while back, and he got me on it. And he and I, we don't really get to talk that much, but he started saying, just showing me enough to get me started down that trail. So I started doing it too. What I mean by that, I would, certain verses and certain passages, the way you really meditate the word, you don't pick out isolated scriptures and ask God what it means. If you've got a tough verse and you don't know what it means, you back up and you find the beginning of that subject. You go forward and find. You got a tough verse and you don't know what it means. You back up and you find the beginning of that subject. You go forward and find out where the subject changes. You read that whole passage about 100 times. Get it outlined in your spirit. Equip yourself for day and night meditation. You know, soft. You go forward and find out where the subject changes. You read that whole passage about 100 times. Get it outlined in your spirit. Equip yourself for day and night meditation. You know, Psalms 1, blessed is the man, meditates day and night. How are you going to do that? With, you know, well, your spirit never sleeps. If you will feed that whole passage into you, where it's in you, you know, where the Holy Spirit can build the outline of the whole thing, you can meditate the scriptures day and night. Your spirit doesn't sleep. So, man, I started looking down there. I am telling you everything that we have ever dreamed of is on this path of born again. But now let me tell you this, church. As this stuff starts coming forward, you're almost going to hear religious limbs dropping off of yourself. Now see, one advantage that Sue had over me, I was raised in a denominational church. I mean, just for a couple of examples, Jesus didn't heal anymore, miracles had passed away, and tongues was of the devil. Okay, that's how I was raised. So I didn't get that. She was just your basic heathen. She wasn't raised in church, but she had an advantage over me because she got to start from zero. I started in the basement, and I had to unlearn something for everything I learned, even just to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I had to unlearn a ton of stuff, okay?
Strongholds,
religious doctrine, and then poverty doctrine. God, he thought that's never going to get that out of me, and I'm still coming forward in it more all the time, but thank God it's better than it was, isn't it, babe? Hallelujah. Now, listen, for us to really go where Jesus wants us to go, let's just tell it plain. I don't like religious stuff. If this church, and if you're going to be a part of it, if we're going to be the ones, if you're going to be the ones where the kids get out of the wheelchairs, you're going to have to do something different than everybody else is doing. Is that plain enough?
Yeah.
Is that clear enough? You're going to have to... We're going to have to do something that you haven't done before, and you're going to have to be willing to let go of certain traditions. I don't care if Daddy believed it that way, and Granddaddy believed it that way, and Great-Granddaddy. Now, don't believe it just because I say it. Do like I did. You take the Scriptures, you check them out yourself. You ask the Holy Ghost, teach me this. If that Oklahoma guy is right, show it to me. And if he's wrong, show me that. That's fine. You know? See, one thing about it, the way the Lord has Sue and I operate, and I am free to say whatever He tells me. I don't care what you think at all. I could care less. You're not paying my bill. You know? I am free from all men. I can say, you know. Now, you may stone me, you know. Like Paul. Hey, you'll raise me up if He ain't done with me yet. So, but now go ahead and look at Luke 16:16. We're going to start here, and I guess we're just going to get a little introduction, because the Lord has instructed me before on weeknight services not to hold y'all very late. How many of y'all got to work tomorrow? Okay. School tomorrow, kids to get off to school, stuff like that. Okay. All right. He says, you know, unless there's a real move of the Spirit or the gifts start flowing, you know, and people can stay in when they want to, but the teaching part normally will be over by 9 o'clock pretty sharp. Okay. Because I know people's got to get up and go to work and do stuff tomorrow. Now, get this. How this could be in my Bible all these years, and it never hit me until the Holy Ghost started showing me on this born-again path. Let's just read it. Luke 16:16. Jesus is speaking. This is red letters in my Bible. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Now, since what time? Let's see now. Say it after me. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time. Since John's time. The kingdom of God is preached. And every man presseth into it. So what does that part mean, Brother Gary? You got to let your old religious training fall by the wayside. The law and the prophets were given to unregenerate people. Now let's just talk about the law for a minute. Let's talk about the dispensation of law compared with the dispensation of grace. Under the old covenant, a man could not be born again, man or woman, could they? Jesus had not been glorified yet. So here you had people who were descendants of Adam. Adam and Eve fell. All of their descendants are born with that nature working in them. So whether they be good, whether they be, you know, trying to be bad, it didn't really matter. They had the wrong nature in them. Okay? So when God delivered them by the hand of Moses out of Egypt, 10 times he tested them with things like, I hate the word tested. He gave them opportunities to succeed. How's that? Like, simple things like, go out every day. There will be manna. 6 days, gather the manna. On the sixth day, you gather twice as much, because on the seventh day, don't go out on the seventh day, there won't be any manna on the seventh day. Now, what part of that do you not understand? See, this is not... But what did they do? They went out on the seventh day, didn't they? Now, 10 times in the wilderness, they provoked him. He gave them 10 opportunities to succeed. They failed all ten times. Finally, God's going, this isn't going to work. Here I'm supposed, these people, I'm having Moses lead them into the land, Canaan, which is full of giants, which is full of warlike people. And unless I have some way of restraining this rebellious bunch, they're going to be destroyed. I have got to have some way where they will obey me, where I can be their provider and I can be their protector. Otherwise, they're going to be destroyed. So what does he do? The New Testament says the law was added because of transgressions. What transgressions? Those 10. They proved to him they could not obey him. They just couldn't bring themselves to do it. They're what Pastor Dave calls flesh creatures. They're not born again. They've got that nature of death working in them. So what the law was given for, here you've got people that God cannot deal with spirit to spirit. There's death in their spirit. He can't deal directly with them. So what does he do? Well, he says one thing about it, they value their hide. Their flesh, they do. Quiet in here. When your parents, when you were growing up, and you did something wrong, and they got that paddle, and they trashed your bottom real good, it made you think about it the next time, didn't it? That's exactly what the law is. It's exactly what it's for. Okay? Now, so the law was given, and I'm talking everything about the law. And he's saying, now, if you value your hide, see, okay, here's one other example. Let's say a person under the law, unregenerate man, not born again in his spirit, he's contemplating adultery. And there's this really foxy lady that moved in a couple of tents down, and she's kind of been giving him the eye, you know, and he's thinking about it, see. Now, see, under the law, he wasn't just making a decision whether or not to commit adultery. Because if you get caught under the law, you get stoned. So he wasn't making a decision whether or not to commit adultery. He was making a decision whether or not to live or die. See? So it wasn't, you got to understand, they didn't so much obey God or obey the law because they love God. They obeyed the law because they loved their hide, the flesh. It's self-preservation. But that was okay. That was the best God had. He didn't have any other way of dealing with these people. He couldn't deal directly with their spirit, see? So he had to deal with them in the flesh. They understood that. Got that? Now, the problem is because we have not understood the new birth, what really happened to us, the capacity that God has placed in us to, for Him to deal directly with us, spirit to reborn spirit. Because we don't understand the fullness of that, we still have a tendency to fall for the law. What do you mean by that, Brother Gary? Works, basically. Works. It's the elder brother syndrome. I've never transgressed thy commandments at any time. Yet thou hast never prepared for me a kid. Y'all know who I'm talking about? The prodigal son, the elder son? Now, what kind of person would that be? That's someone that's very busy in the church. Maybe they're on the board. Maybe they mow the lawns. Maybe they do this. Maybe they do that. A deacon, whatever. Song leader could be anything. And all of those things are fine. But their whole relationship with the Lord is based on those kind of things. Now see, the sad thing about the elder son, he did not know his father's heart at all. Because he never came in and spent any time with his father. He thought the father should have been angry at the prodigal son. Like he was. I mean, he was upset. And he's going, how come you're not angry at him? I'm not even going to come in. He didn't understand his father's hearts at all. Now listen, that's a works mentality that almost has no fellowship and no relationship. There's very little family going on here between father and son. That is not what God is after. God is not just after your service. He's after you. He loves you. And boy, the more you find that out, and the more you find out how profoundly He loves you and everything He wants to do for you, that alone will stop a lot of false doctrine, doctrines of men that never originated with God. But because we don't understand the depth of what He's done for us, then we tend to fall for all kinds of works. I think the simplest way, let me put it this way, the one area where people are more prone to get into works than any other is in their giving. It is so easy to get into the giving. Quiet in here now. Brief summary of grace. You've all heard it, like I've heard it. Well, I'll tell you how extreme. In Tulsa, this was preached last week. I have a first-hand witness that was there. If I mentioned the church, you'd all know it, and I'm not about to. It said, God won't heal you unless you tithe. Did you hear me? Let's see now. I have three daughters. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And I have this ability to provide for them whatever they might need. But yet I'm not going to, you know, if one of them gets real sick, I'm not going to help them unless they give me some money first. And if I, being evil, am able to give good gifts unto my children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to His?
Praise God.
That kind of, now see, God will let you believe whatever you want to believe. And if you want to believe ugly stuff about Him, He'll let you. But until you quit that, your revelation knowledge about God is going to be pretty limited. God is not like that. I don't care if 1,000 preachers stand up there. See, and when you start looking at the Gospels, when did Jesus ever take up an offering before He healed anybody? Give me a break. See, you got to watch it. I still don't trust preachers, can you tell? And today I are one. And I, you know, you got to be careful. I mean, you got to be careful. But it's so easy to get over into that works thing. One more freebie. They're all free. When Sue and I were so desperately trying to understand our financial relationship with the Lord, that first year, give me a break. It was horrible. We were, And it was all my fault. I was full of religious doctrine. I did not know my father very well. I was very much an elder son. My most of my relationship was based on my works, you know. And, man, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm making sure we're tithing and I'm making sure we're giving the 10% above that. And I'm, you know, I'm doing this and I'm to me it feels like I'm a worker, okay. I'm pressing every button. I'm pulling every lever. I'm making sure I forgive everybody. I don't want that to block my blessing, you know. And everything I'm doing, I'm trying to figure out how to make this thing work so God can bless us financially because we needed it. We didn't have any income at all. Everyone say, at all.
At all.
Do you understand? At all? No money. And man, I'm doing this and I'm working and I'm making tapes and I'm doing everything I know to do and I'm forgiving. I'll be sure I forgive everybody and doing everything, you know. And one day the Holy Ghost said, while I was praying in those other tongues, he just said, this thought never went through the mind of Jesus during his earthly ministry. Number one, I'm waiting for the thought. What thought? Here it is. You ready? What must I do today to get my Father to bless me? And I about fell out of my chair. Because at that moment, my life was consumed with, what must I do today to get my Father to bless me? Now, don't sit there looking so holy at me. Haven't you guys thought like that?
Yes.
You know, something must be wrong, you know, especially if your finances aren't going well. Well, I must be doing something wrong, you know. So he said that, and I knew it was the Holy Ghost. I've prayed too many years not to recognize that voice. I'm going, well, so what's the next logical question? Well, if he didn't think like that, how did he think? You ready for this? It's good. He believed that he was a son and an heir of all that the Father had. Oh, my God. Here comes relationship and fellowship again. Not my works, not the elder brother sin. See, the elder brother didn't even know he had an inheritance that had already been divided unto him. He didn't know. Why? He never came in and fellowshiped with the Father. Too busy. Out in the fields. Never transgressing thy commandment at any time. Now, modern day equivalent, I'm going to, you know, it's good. I love true holiness. I love true holiness. But listen, if most of the, quote, holiness I've seen in my lifetime, people that will judge you, and yes, they have. They're not transgressing the commandment at any time. Neither will they cross the street to make a sandwich and take it to a homeless person. Neither would they go into a prison and try and get somebody saved in there on death row. Neither would they do practically anything because they have no heart of the Father. They don't know the Father. All they know is keep, you know, the rules, regulations. And those kind of things. Now, those things are fine in their place. You understand? I'm not promoting license. But, dear God, if your idea, you know, I'm looking away. If your idea of Christianity is, oh, I stayed saved and I never missed church and I always dressed right until I died. And I tithed. You know? And if that's you, I mean, until you died and that's your testimony, you're also dead and don't know it. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to heaven, but life has no excitement, has no adventure. Real Christianity is full of adventure.
Yeah.
It is a life of it. You just never know what he's going to say next. You just never know. You know, one time he sent me to LaRue's down there in Houston, and I'll just be honest with you, things weren't the best financially. And he sent me down there, and his instructions that time was no offerings at all this week. And I have witnesses that were there. And I had to tell him this. I said, now, by the way, he didn't tell me that on this trip anyway. But I told him, I said, now, when the Lord says no offerings, I'm supposed to receive none. I mean it. So I told him at the very first meeting, if you secretly stick a $20 bill in my pocket or a check, I'm telling you, when I find it, it's going into Covenant Worship Center. Because that's what the Lord said. I have learned how to prosper. Whatever he says to you, do it. I am telling you. That is the way you prosper. Not by formula. Listen, that was the law. And we're not getting very far here. Now, listen. You've got to understand the difference between law, the reason for the law, and the covenant that we're in, which is a new birth. Now, let's look at this one more time. Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Now, let me show you what I mean. Back up to Matthew 5. See, for years, I would get puzzled when I'd read a lot of Jesus' teachings, because some of the things he was telling these people, I knew they weren't born again. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. They couldn't be born again. But he would say such things like this. He would say, forgive. And if you don't forgive from the heart, neither will my Heavenly Father forgive you. And he's talking to people that aren't even born again. Now, you guys are born again. You ever had any trouble forgiving? Okay, it's work, isn't it? All right? But he's talking with people that had no capacity for that. Not really from the heart. Now, they might decide to, okay, I forgive you in the sense that I won't kill you. However, I'm never going to forget it. You know, that type of thing. That's probably about the best they could do. Okay? Out of self-preservation, I won't kill you. But I'm never going to forget it. See, they couldn't from the heart. But Jesus would plainly tell, and I couldn't figure it out. Now, the law and the prophets were until who? And since that time. Now, you got to watch this. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, put yourself in the place for a moment. This is what we call the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes. You are a Jew, not born again, listening to Jesus say these words. Okay? Blessed are the pure in heart. Now, you were raised Jewish, so you know the Scriptures. And about that time, wouldn't verses like this come to your mind from the prophet Jeremiah? You don't have to turn there. I got too many of them. Jeremiah 17:9. You can look it up later. Here the prophet says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I heard that verse a lot in the denominational church I grew up in. How many of y'all heard that one? Let me say it again. Now here Jesus is saying, "Now blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." But I'm sitting there going, well, trouble is, I already know that my heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Or here's another one, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, and I am pure from my sin? See, now you're a Jew sitting there listening to Jesus, and you believe he's the Messiah, all right, but you know who you are. You know you're a, quote, a flesh creature. You've been taught these scriptures from your youth. Now, see, the trouble was I. The heart is deceitful about it. So you're sitting there basically going, well, Jesus, that would be great. Blessed are the pure in heart. I wish mine was. Because if it was, then I could see God, you know. Now, are you ready for this? Hold your place there. Go over to Acts chapter 15. See, the denomination, that this is the kind of stuff that, thank God, Sue doesn't know anything about. This is the kind of stuff I had to get free from. The preaching I remember most from my youth growing up was things like this. I do remember Jeremiah 17:9, where they would talk like that. And then I remember verses like, there's none righteous, no, not one, you know. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, man. You know, so I grew up with that kind of consciousness, you know. And basically, they had me believing. And you may believe it right now, but don't hold your prophet rocks till later, okay? They had me believing that I was just an old sinner, saved by grace. Excuse me. Thank you. In other words, now see, I love that phrase too, but I got to change it a little bit since I've seen the truth. I was an old sinner. I got saved by grace. Sure, it wasn't by my works. But he has born me again. And I am a new creature in Christ. And that man that I used to be died. And like I told Judy, he needed killing. I am no longer just an old sinner saved by grace. I was an old sinner. I got saved by grace. Now I am the righteousness of God in Him. He has put a spirit on the inside of me that is capable of receiving directly now. He doesn't have to deal with my flesh anymore. He deals directly with me, spirit to spirit. Capital S, spirit, to little s, spirit. You with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now watch this. Proof. Because I was convinced. One day, I'm telling you, I was just reading through here, minding my own business, praying in other tongues. Now what this passage is, it's Acts 15. And Peter is telling the Jews about what happened when he had gone in and preached the gospel at Cornelius' house. Y'all remember Cornelius? Gentiles? First time any Gentiles got saved. All right? So Peter's telling what happened. And we'll just start here in verse 7. Acts 15, 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And now notice, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them. What? Purifying their hearts by faith. God purified? You mean my heart is no longer deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? No matter what those preachers told me Sunday after Sunday after Sunday growing up, and no matter what they've told you and get you looking at your ugly self, you know what I mean by that? You know, and telling you what a slimy dog worm you are, when all the time, now, if you got born, how many of you are born again? Say, born again. When you got born again, see, man can't purify. Have y'all figured it out yet? Man can't save man. See, man can't purify his heart, can he? Well, what does that say? God purified their hearts. That means I'm perfect after I got saved. Isn't that what it means, Brother Gary? No. You have the capacity. He put a spirit in you. And in that spirit, it's like a seed. There's an image in there of Christ. See, the Bible says, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay? So it's like a seed, though. It's in there. You now have the potential. You can have all of God you want. How much time are you going to spend with your Father? What if you came in now and fellowship with your Father, not flesh to spirit, but spirit to spirit? He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men. I'm going to say it this way. But unto your Father. How do you fellowship? How do you not be the elder son anymore, Brother Gary? How do you go in and really fellowship? He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto his Father. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit with his Father. They're speaking secrets. Getting to know each other. Developing a relationship. And he'll change you from a person, whatever situation you're in right now. Maybe you're a kind of critical type person, or maybe stingy type person. Boy, I'm looking all around. I don't want to look at nobody. You know, I don't care what it is. See, it doesn't matter. You go in and I always think about Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus, you know, I wish I knew how much time I had, but Zacchaeus was forever. I brought four more tapes. Nick locked the door. No. Here was Zacchaeus, which the Bible plainly says he was a publican. He was a wealthy man, but it's obviously he got his money somewhat crookedly. But he still wanted to know who Jesus was. And I always thought it was interesting the way it's really phrased. When he climbed that tree, it doesn't say that he wanted to see where Jesus was. What it really says is he wanted to see who Jesus was. I like that. It's good to be able to see who Jesus is. Well, Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was, and they come through there, and he says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to put this in a little pot of water me talk here. Hey, you been waiting on me? Come on down. I need to come to your house. We need to talk. All right. Zacchaeus comes down. Jesus goes into the house with him. Now, the Jews outside, the religious crowd, Jesus went in to visit with the biggest sinner in our town. This guy is crooked. He robs from the poor. I mean, he does, you know, he gets away with it all legally. And Jesus is going in talking with him. But now, after the end of that discussion, see, fellowship. Zacchaeus. Now, get the picture here. You've got Zacchaeus, in intimate fellowship inside the house with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Talking with him was like talking with the Father. Now, Zacchaeus understood some things after that conversation was over. And it wasn't like Jesus threatened him or anything. They're in there fellowshipping. And Zacchaeus goes, I think I'm going to change my ways. Comes out and makes an announcement. I have an announcement to make. I've been talking with the Lord. We've been fellowshipping. And I found I am wrong on several points. Therefore, today I'm just making an announcement. I give half my goods to the poor. And if I have wronged any man, I'll restore him fourfold. Now see, fellowship. Jesus didn't come in there with a whip and start stripping his money away from him and say, hog tie him, we're taking his money and all. No, no. Let's talk. There's some things you don't understand. Let's talk. They're mysteries to you right now. They're not mysteries to me, the Lord said. And if you and I can have some fellowship together, they won't be mysteries to you. Isn't that good? Now, we started this off by saying, why does Jesus want another church in Fort Myers? Maybe this will be one that will fellowship with him. If you don't, you'll just be another church. See, there's nowhere I can send you, there's nowhere you can go, really, on the face of the earth, where you can get what you really want. The closest one we have in the whole nation is Benny Hinn, and I thank God for him. Thank God we have one that's even approaching, and just approaching that level of ministry. But Benny, you know, you've heard him out of his own mouth say, the first question he's going to ask the Lord, why didn't they all get healed? Because he knows if the Lord Jesus himself was running that meeting, they would. How many times does it say, and he healed them all? And he healed them all, over and over and over again, see? So even Benny, which is, we got one in the whole cotton-picking nation that's even approaching that level of ministry. But he knows he's not really, you know, where it is. Have you ever read his book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit? Do you read about those 2 years where his family virtually isolated him in his room and he had no one to talk to but the Holy Ghost? And look at the fruit. Now, it's not that Jesus would not heal in every church in this city. The thing you got to understand about Jesus is this. He is the Word. He can only operate by truth. And he can only operate by faith in the Word of God. There's just, in plain language, there's just lots of stuff we don't understand. How to let him do what he wants to do. And if we're going to go there, if this church is going to be the one that's really going to let Jesus get to do what he wants to do, which is the works of the Father, you're going to have to, I don't mean just look at you, you are going to have to go somewhere where nobody's gone before. We're talking Star Trek Christianity here, okay? You know? Well, wouldn't everybody be doing it if they knew how? Wouldn't everybody be doing it? The reason they're not doing it, it's a mystery. It's still a mystery. One thing Jesus said to me, and I'll close with this. Now, you do know what it means when a preacher says now in closing. That doesn't mean anything at all. You know? I like the way LaRue does it. He said, this is my first close. One time the Lord said this to me, and it encouraged me. He said, be encouraged to know this. He says, are you aware that there is absolutely nothing about the anointing that I do not understand? He says, I understand every facet, everything about it, There is no part of the anointing that is a mystery to me. He said, if you will spend time with my Holy Spirit, I have sent him to teach you. And if you'll give him the time required, it will be no mystery to you. Just like it's no mystery to me. And it will eventually become as a tool in your hand. Just as a mechanic would use a wrench to fix a car, repair a car. You will direct and use the anointing as simply and as easily as a mechanic would reach for his wrench. And it will accomplish exactly what the anointing is intended to accomplish. Whether it be deliverance in the spirit, deliverance in people's soul, deliverance in their emotions, or deliverance in their bodies. The anointing shall become as a tool in your hand. Is that good or what? Now, see, I've never really thought about it, but you think about it. Do you think there's anything about the anointing that Jesus does not understand? He understands it all perfectly. Exactly how it works, how to make it work, what to say, what to do. Okay, clay on the eyes this time. No clay on the eyes next time. And he understands why. We're going, we don't have a clue why. He understands all that, see. Okay? And he says, you'll understand it too. Because I've given you the same teacher, the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide you into all truth. But boy, we're going to have to come in out of the fields with all that busy work. We're going to have to come in and spend the time, spend some time with our Father. Spend the time with the Holy Ghost. And speak those mysteries, you know. And the flesh pulls hard. Second close. Dave, Pastor Dave said this one time. And it finally got me over the hump. Because my flesh doesn't like to go pray any more than your flesh likes to go pray. And I've been at it 6 years almost. Okay? Especially when football season starts. Dear God, you know. The Packers are on, for crying out loud, Lord. You know, I know you love the Packers. You got... Oh, anyway. Well, I'll get some Dallas fans now, won't I? But anyway, you know, my flesh, it pulls hard. I understand that.
See?
And one thing Pastor Dave said, it finally, I think it pushed me over the hump one day. He says, have you ever thought about the fact that in all of recorded history since the cross, you could probably count on two hands the number of human beings that have actually produced or allowed through them, let's say, revival came into the earth. I'm talking about people like Catherine Kuhlman, Charles Finney, Whitfield, people like not very many, Luther, okay? In 2,000 years, there hadn't been very many, not like that. And here's what Dave said. He says, did you ever think about it that in all that time, everybody was too busy. Everybody had jobs. Everybody had children to raise. Everybody had mouths to feed. And that's why you can count on two hands the number of people that God could ever deal with sufficiently to be able to bring revival through their faith. There's not been very many that could fight off the flesh, finally give up that excuse of not having enough time. Nobody has enough time. Nobody has enough time. You could even get busy, too busy in, I'll get a witness here, you can get too busy in full-time ministry to pray.
That's right.
Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Y'all getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. We didn't get very much into the meat of this, but I want you to get this one thing. Promise me. I want to promise. I don't ever want to hear, ever, don't you ever let any preacher ever again tell you that your heart is desperately wicked. Not if you're born again.
That's right.
God has purified your heart. Now, you may have all kinds of trouble in your soul realm. Okay? We may have a lot of renewing of the mind to do, but the point you have to get tonight, that, in fact, one, turn to Ezekiel 36. What we saw in Acts was the fulfillment of what the prophet prophesied back in Ezekiel. This is what God said he was going to do, and he did it, that's all. Ezekiel 36. And we'll start in verse 25. He's prophesying to them about what we saw in Acts Okay? Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Now watch this. A new heart also will I give you. That's why it's purified. Do you see? And a new spirit will I put within you. It's not the same old dirty spirit cleaned up. It's a new spirit, he said. We're going to talk about that part specifically tomorrow night. You will never, ever have questions about that after tomorrow night if you can come. And if you can't, get the tapes. Okay? But you will understand that to the nth degree. But a new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out. Now, for a long time, I thought I had two natures. I had the one I got from Adam, and now I got this new one I got from Christ, because I knew I still wanted to sin a lot. Let's talk real here. That's not what it says. It says, I'll take out that stony heart. So whatever it is that's wanting to sin, it's not in my spirit. You've got to understand that. Okay? We can talk about that later. And I will give you a heart of flesh. Now, get this. As if that wasn't good enough, he gave you a new spirit, a new heart. Now get this. When somebody says, and, does that mean they're done talking yet? He ain't done yet. He gets even gooder. Watch. And I will put my spirit within you. Why? Why are you going to give me your spirit along with this new spirit? Well, he's been sent, see, to teach you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Is that good stuff or what? We haven't taken a drink of the new birth. We've hardly licked the ice cubes. I'm telling you, everything is on this path. Your joy, your peace, your salvation, your prosperity, your call, your equipping for your call, your anointing, everything is understanding what happened to you when you got born again. It's good, isn't it, Donnie? Isn't it good? Hallelujah. That's it for tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.